present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Andre Melle in just a minute. As the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Well, thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. Just to remind you of the rules, or perhaps just to remind ourselves of the rules, each of the players in this game are going to try and speak for just a minute on some subject that they know nothing about, which I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviation. In other words, they mustn't pause, they must keep going, they mustn't repeat themselves, and they mustn't stray from the point. Now, these rules are very simple and they're very elastic, and I have the impossible task of deciding when they are guilty and giving points. This you will see as we progress, so let's start the game straight off this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, you seem surprised, but yes. A delightful subject for you to start the show with this week. Here's the subject, what you see in the looking glass. Would you try and speak for just a minute on that subject starting now?
Well, what I see in the looking glass is, of course, perfectly obvious to everybody. For I'm beautiful, simply beautiful. When a rose sees me coming, it wilts. Oh, my physical charms are so ample, I set Helen of Troy an example. That was, of course, said by somebody much greater than myself, but it roughly equates to my position when I am looking in the looking glass. Of course, this is obviously a canon, it obviously could be.
Derek Nimmo, you buzz. Why? Challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation. Derek receives a point because it was a correct challenge, and he takes over the subject, what you see in the looking glass, starting now.
What I see in the looking glass as I gradually come up into the frame is, first of all, the top of my hair. Then I see my forehead, then my eyebrows and my eyes, then my nose, then my upper lip.
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Repetition of my.
You are entirely correct, Clement Freud. You have a point. You have 22 seconds for what you see in the looking glass, starting now.
When I look at myself in the looking glass and turn slightly to one side and look across, I see the bathroom cupboard, which contains bottles of aspirins, toothbrush, toothpaste, a shaving brush, and four different kinds of soap.
Andre Melle, you have challenged. Why?
Well, medicine cupboards usually have doors on them, in which case, how can you see all these things?
Doors open.
Well, I'm...
Deviation, by the way.
Well, I'm assuming the door is open, otherwise he couldn't have seen them, so Andre, it was a very good try, but I'm afraid it's another point to Clement Freud, with 5 seconds left for what you see in the looking glass, starting now.
Moving smartly to my left, I actually see myself, a good-looking man with...
Derek Nimmo managed to challenge just before the whistle went. What was your challenge, Derek?
Well, deviation. He's not a good-looking man. He's singularly repugnant.
I don't often do this, but I'm not going to get involved in personal acrimony between two of these contestants. I'm going to ask the audience to judge whether they think Clement Freud is a good-looking man or not. If you think that Clement Freud is a good-looking man, will you please cheer? And
now.
If you don't, if you think the reverse, would you please boo? And would you all do it together now?
Boo!
Clement Freud, they all think you are a very good-looking man. And Derek Nimmo was wrong. Clement Freud has another point. He has 1 second left for what you see in the looking glass, starting now.
Blue eyes.
Well, as Clement Freud was speaking, as the whistle went, that meant he has another point, which, and I thought Derek's challenge was rather a clever one, but he doesn't get a point. Clement has a lead of 4 after the first round. Derek Nimmo has 1, and Andre Melle and Kenneth Williams have yet to score. Clement Freud, will you begin this round, please, on plain speaking, starting now.
Plain speaking, as opposed to self-raising speaking, is to speak in well-modulated tones without raising or lowering them from a certain octave which you have decided to pitch into at the beginning of your talk. I am a great exponent of this art because I speak probably more plainly than anybody else.
Derek Nimmo, why do you challenge?
Boastful.
Yes, but I'm afraid you can't get points for that.
Oh. Well, can I also challenge on deviation?
No, it's too late now. Oh. I'm very sorry. All you managed to do is to give Clement Freud another point with 40 seconds left for plain speaking starting now.
And so I drone on...
Derek Nimmo.
Deviation, you see, because he says he's a plain speaker. It's already been established by the audience he's a particularly handsome speaker.
Very clever, dear Derek Nimmo. Very clever, sir. You have the subject now.
It's
with
utterly untrue. They said I was good looking.
Oh, yes.
Not handsome.
Emmon Freud, you've had enough compliments paid to you for one day, so I'll just rest on your laurels for the minute. Let Derek Nimmo have the subject of plain speaking with 38 seconds left, starting now.
Some people tend to mistake plain speaking for being downright rude. Such, I'm afraid, is...
Andre Merry, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, Andre. 33 seconds for plain speaking, starting now.
I think it means telling the truth, the kind of truth that other people don't like to hear. And when they say you are a plain speaker, they mean that you are extremely rude. And...
Clement Freud, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, indeed. Another point to Clement Freud. And 23 seconds for plain speaking, and you start now.
It does mean, in fact, that you speak your mind, whatever that is. You go up to a man and say, quite frankly, I think you are the most repulsive...
Kenneth Williams, you've buzzed.
Yes.
You want to say something.
Yes, because he's confusing it with rudeness, you see. So it's deviation. Deviation entirely. Speaking plainly is speaking plainly. It's nothing to do with speaking rudely. Going up to a bloke and saying you're repulsive is disgraceful. I mean, all I right, might have a great goiter hanging right. out, but I don't want people coming up saying it, do I? Not very nice. They've got air coming out of your ear hole, is it? Disgraceful.
Are you talking on plain speaking at the
No deviation, sorry.
I've never heard anybody justify their challenge with such a long discussion.
Sorry, yes.
I've been just a minute and got another bonus. Yes. Anyway, all right, Kenneth, I will give you the point, and 12 seconds for plain speaking. See if you can do better than you've just done, starting now.
Thank you very much. Of course, plain speaking means speaking.
Clement Freud, you challenge.
Oh.
Deviations. Thank you very much.
He's a disgrace.
Why do you think thank you very much is not plain speaking?
It has nothing to do with the subject.
I was saying thank you for him for the point.
You see? I think thank you very much is plenty of plain speaking. Kenneth Williams has another point, and he has 10 seconds for plain speaking, starting now.
Plain speaking means, of course, speaking in the plain, as opposed to on the edge of a mountain. And Pindaric omens were all composed on the edge of a mountain. Ruin seize the ruthless king.
Derek Nimmo, why do you challenge?
I've rather forgotten. I'm so sorry. No, I'm so sorry.
Kenneth Williams, you have another point, and you have 2 seconds left for plain speaking, starting now.
The Pindaric Oaths composed on a mountainside. They cried out. Oh, I've leapt into the lead now, and I. Come out with it, tell us.
Don't be steady on. Remember where you are, Kenneth Williams.
Oh, sorry.
With some very unplain, plain speaking, Kenneth Williams has gone into third place. He's ahead of Andre Melly by 2 points, but he's 1 point behind Derek Nimmo and 3 points behind Clement Freud, who's still in the lead. Derek Nimmo, it's your turn to begin. A subject I hope you can talk about for 60 seconds, how to eat a crumpet. That's what the inventor of the game has chosen for you, Ian Messiter, and you start now.
I always eat my crumpets orally. I tend to take them and butter them, put them in front of the fire, and then slowly pop them between my teeth. And then I masticate away until they're...
Andre Merry, why do you challenge?
Deviation. It sounds revolting.
It may sound revolting, Andre, but it, I think, is probably the way most people eat their crumpets.
Pop
so
a crumpet.
We'll have to carry on with Derek Nimmo's and his crumpet.
Pop a crumpet.
Sorry, Derek Nimmo and his hot crumpet for 43 seconds, starting now.
I've always been a great crumpet enthusiast. In fact, I recently made a record, which is called Taste and Honey and Crumpet for Tea, in which I explain the art of eating this particular delicacy. It really is a very interesting thing, crumpet eating. You know, if you take a sugar...
Clement Freud, you've challenged one.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, alas. Clement Freud, how to eat a crumpet with 27 seconds left, starting now.
The ideal way is not as propounded by Mr. Derek Nimmo, but in fact you toast the crumpet first, and when it is hot and coloured on both sides, you then add...
Derek Nimmo, your
deviation. You see, he's not actually eating the crumpet. He's
preparing
it.
Give it to Derek Nimmo for another point and 14 seconds for how to eat a crumpet, starting now.
Get it firmly between your teeth. Dig in first your molars and then your wisdom teeth.
Kenneth Williams.
Right. Repetition, he's already told us he masticated.
Repetition?
Of course, he's already told us he's masticated. Now he's started gripping it between his teeth.
You mean you feel he's regurgitated it?
Cool!
Well, you've got a larger vocabulary than I have. I can see that.
And you have fewer points than the other, so I'll give you one, Kenneth Williams. And 10 seconds left for how to eat a crumpet, starting now.
There is only one way to eat it. You put the napkin right...
Andre Melly.
Toop-poop it.
What?
A toop-poop is a hesitation. All yes. Right, Andre, you have the subject of how to eat a crumpet for 6 seconds, starting now.
Sit down in front of the fire. Put the crumpet on a plate. Then take it between the thumb...
Derek Nimmo, you challenge. Why?
Well, again, she's preparing. She's putting on a plate.
Yes, yes, yes.
Devious. Oh.
That's the first time anybody's got 2 points in the same round on the same actual challenge. But well done, Derek. We 1 point to you and 1 second to go for how to eat a crumpet starting now.
When it reaches my stomach.
Derek has taken a lead of 2 points over Clement Freud. Kenneth Williams is still in third place and Andre Melly in fourth place. And Kenneth Williams, it is your turn to begin paying the bills at the end of the month, Kenneth. Is this something you do? Well, anyway, talk for just a minute, if you can, on that subject, starting now.
Well, I will pay anything I owe at any time, never mind the end of the month, but I'm not paying bills. He can pay his own. On the other hand, when the account is presented, it is always a rather depressing incident. And I was once sent one from a certain store, which I shall not name, for 500 pints of milk and a mink coat. Well, obviously, I don't walk around in a mink coat drinking 500 pints of milk. And so I rang them up and I said, here, I've had this bill, 500 pints of milk and a mink coat. And they said, what is the name, please? And I said, Kenneth C. Williams, my full name, Kenneth C. Williams. And they said, oh, it should have gone to Tennessee Williams. Of course, they mixed me up, you see.
Kenneth, we've stopped. You've been challenged.
Tennessee Williams. They got me mixed up because I was Kenneth C., which sounds like Tennessee Williams.
You get
and
no bonus points.
Hello, does he go around in mink coats with half a crate of milk?
Well, I'm not going to even ask what the challenge was, Clement Freud. You have a point definitely for that. Anyway, we better let the listeners at home know, why did you challenge?
Repetition.
Yes, repetition indeed was right. Plenty of C's and plenty of Kenneths and plenty of Williams. That's a bit too much, really, but there...
I thought it was lovely.
And
they
so did the
audience.
And so did the audience, Kenneth, but you weren't playing the game strictly.
Oh, well, I got carried away. We're all human after all.
22 seconds left, you human. For Clement Freud, that's when he challenged. 22 seconds to go. Paying bills at the end of the month, Clement Freud, starting now.
Paying bills at the end of the month is sometimes a very dangerous thing because if you pay these bills too promptly, people are of the opinion that you are bankrupt because bankrupts have to pay their bills actually on the due date. Otherwise, they can go to court.
Kenneth Williams, you challenge.
Oh, deviation, of course. We're discussing paying bills at the end of the month, not bankrupts. If you're bankrupt, you'd never pay them at all, would you?
You could still be bankrupt by paying your bills or not.
Pay the bills at the end of the month is the question, love. Bankrupts couldn't pay them any time, could they?
Yes, dear, I know. But there
it's deviation. What we're discussing.
Don't browbeat the chairman, Mr. Williams. Clement Freud has another point. I disagree with you, and there are 8 seconds left for him to paying bills at the end of the month, starting now.
January's...
Andre Melly.
Hesitation.
No, I don't think so. Clement Freud, you still have another point. 7 seconds for paying the bills at the end of the month, starting now.
January is a very good month to pay a bill at the end of, because it has 31 days, and the day of 30...
Andre, your turn to begin. Kenneth, stop fooling around, please. Camping, that is the subject, Andre Melly. Can you talk for just a minute, starting now?
This is something you either like doing or you don't. I've tried it once and I didn't really care for it. It's quite romantic sleeping out under the stars, but after a bit everything starts to smell of Macintosh and you're never quite warm enough and you find you don't wash as often as you used to. Boy Scouts, I believe, do it a great deal in groups of 20 or more and make campfires and sing round them, and it's not my kind of thing at all.
Derek Nimmer, your challenge, right?
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. Just a hesitation. I was so carried away with the sort of other ideas that were going in my mind. With... Derek Nimmo, you have 33 seconds left for camping starting now.
Well, quite honestly, I've never been a great camper. I mean, there's all sorts of people going for a great deal these days, really, but never appealed to me tremendously. I don't know why. I think it's rarely that I don't awfully care for the outdoor life. I mean, there by your wigwam with your little fire and your billy can to hand. It isn't really my way of spending a wet summer weekend.
Andre Melly, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, indeed, yes. 12 seconds for camping, Andre, starting now.
You need a tent and some pegs to peg it down with, and tins of food and a tin opener, and a box of matches so as you can make a fire.
Well, as Andre was speaking, as the whistle went, she gains another point. And that point puts her just ahead of Kenneth Williams, who's sunk back to fourth place, alas, Kenneth.
I've sunk? Oh.
Clement Freud is 1 point ahead of
Gary
Nimmo,
who is
in second place. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The cult of nudism. As a good subject to talk about for just a minute, starting now.
The cult of nudism is one that doesn't necessarily involve taking off all your clothes. You can be a nudist wearing a vest and pants, a shirt and collar and tie, a suit with trousers, a waistcoat and a vest. And deep down, mentally, you are still a nudist because you feel that you would like to be rid of these clothes. But suppose you want to go in for nudism a little more actively, then it is essential to strip yourself of all garments. Can you stop, Nemo, looking at me? Nemo's looking at me. I won't have it.
I want a 5 minute rest. He wanted to be stopped.
Andre Melly, listeners, challenged because Clement wanted to be stopped because he felt
a hesitation coming on.
No, he felt his hesitation coming on because Kenneth Williams is looking at him in a very peculiar way. Andre Melly did the honours for Clement Freud, and she has the subject of the cult of nudism with 32 seconds left, starting now.
There was a very interesting programme on television on this subject. I was watching one programme, turned over, and there was this lady with nothing on, frying...
Kenneth Williams, you'll challenge twice.
Deviation. Why? The cult of nudism is the subject, not watching television.
Is it?
That is perfectly true.
Judge,
what were you going to say, Andre?
It was a teleprogram on the subject.
Yes, but it was about nudism, actually. I don't think, and it wasn't called the cult of nudism. So Kenneth Williams has a point, and he has the subject with 25 seconds left, starting now.
The cult of nudism is to do with the worship of nakedness. And what more adorable thing could you have to worship? Here we have all hypocrisy swept away. All the foppery, all the dressing up, all the decoration, the embellishment, all the rubbish, in other words, is gone.
Clement's challenge you.
Oh, reputation.
Of what?
Too many alls.
Well, when Kenneth Williams goes in, he goes all in, doesn't he? Anyway, Clement Freud, you have another point for the cult of nudism, and you have 7 seconds left, starting now.
I once went to North Middlesex to be...
Derek Nimmo, you challenge, why?
He's talking about a visit to North Middlesex.
A clever challenge, Derek Nimmo, another point, and you have 4 seconds left for the cult of nudism, starting now.
Take him off, I cry. Away with this!
Clement Freud, you challenge, why?
Hesitation.
Well, you have to pause for a moment while you take them off.
Actually, I think he paused because the audience laughed. It was difficult to judge it, so I'm afraid I must give it to Derek Nimmo. And 2 seconds left for the cult of nudism, starting now.
Off come my shoes, then my socks.
The nudist scene has put Derek Nimmo into a small lead of 1 over Clement Freud, who still has a commanding lead over Andre Melly, who's 1 point ahead of Kenneth Williams. Derek Nimmo, it's your turn to begin. Public relations. But just talk for 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
Ronald Kershaw Sudbury Hardy of Port Meadow, Totnes, Devon, is one of my public relations. He is a local worthy, a keen sailor, a scout commissioner. Beatrice Mason, who lives at 44 Eustace Arthur's Avenue, Flintshire, North Wales, is also a public relation of mine. She plays bridge. She is a keen member of the local Conservative Association. I have a sister, Valerie Williams, her name is, by her husband, who lives...
Andre Melly, you
Hesitation.
Hesitation is right, yes. 25 seconds left for public relations. Andre Melly, you start now.
This is one of these mysterious subjects, PR officers, I believe that some of them are called, who try to publicise for you whatever you want to have publicised.
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, a repetition of publicized, too. Clement Freud, you have 14 seconds left for public relations, starting now.
There are people who have no private relations who are forced to go in for this in a professional way, and they appoint a gentleman to project their image to the world at large, saying, Clement Freud...
Derek Nimmer, you challenge why?
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. 3 seconds left for public relations, Derek Nimmer, starting now.
Aunt Gertrude, Uncle Charles.
Clement Freud, you challenge why?
Repetition of the telephone directory. Aunt Gertrude is a private relation, you see.
No, she has a very public life.
She's not a public relation because she's not everybody's Aunt Gertrude. She's
I'm going to put it to the audience. I can't decide between public relations, whether they, if they're private relations and they become public. Do you think that Clement Freud's challenge is justified? And if you do, will you please cheer? And if you don't, will you please boo? And will you all please do it together now? Clement Freud, they're on your side today, without a doubt. You have another point. You have 2 seconds left for public relations, starting now.
In Fleet Street, there's a lot of...
So, the public relations has put Clement Freud into a commanding lead equal with Derek Nimmo, with Andre Mello trailing in third place, and Kenneth Williams trailing in fourth place. And this, alas, is the last subject. Kenneth Williams, it is your turn to begin... You'd like to put your shoes on, I'm sure.
I've got bad feet now.
Well, the subject is holiday brochures. Bad feet or not, maybe you can think of one that'll do your feet good, but otherwise, will you please speak for 60 seconds on holiday brochures starting now?
Holiday brochures are always the most deceptive thing in this world. They choose a day when the sunshine in the beach looks really lovely and there are none of these nasty jellyfish around. And of course, everyone sitting there looks delighted with the whole place. But when you get there, the sun's never like that, neither of the hotels, and they all say all in. They don't tell you about the extras. There's loads of extras if you want to buy. It's extra. I mean, if you want the meal, it's extra. If you want the manager...
Derek Nimmer, why do you say?
Repetition, too many extras.
Too much hesitation, I would thought. All right, 32 seconds left, Derek, for holiday brochures starting now.
The cult of nudism has provided a lot of very interesting holiday brochures. I remember going down to Bournemouth last Sunday. Oh, I've stopped.
Hesitation,
indeed, yes. 24 seconds left for holiday brochures, Clement Freud, starting now.
In my opinion, the best holiday brochures are those put out by the Hampshire County Council, and they put them out for Gasforth, Southampton, and Portsmouth. The beaches are beautiful, the sand is golden.
Kenneth Williams, your challenge, why?
Yeah, there's no such place as Gasforth.
Gasforth? No, it does sound very peculiar.
Yes. Have you heard it? I've never heard it. Gasforth.
All right, all right. 11 seconds left for your Gasforth challenge. And holiday brochures are the subject, and you start now.
Yes, well, as I say, they're hopelessly...
Clement Freud.
What? What's happening now? I'm sorry, I was mystified. What?
I'll tell you what happened. You were challenged by Clement Freud.
Oh, sorry.
That's right, Clement Freud.
If he's already said it, it's repetition. He said, as I said.
Oh, how extremely clever. All right, did you say as I said?
I'm afraid I was
well,
guilty.
All right,
I
am, well done.
I'm in the position of
well,
being...
honesty. All right, Kenneth, you're very honest and we appreciate it very much. You're 9 seconds left for holiday brochures. Clement Freud, starting now.
Hotels in holiday resorts are tabulated into classes to which they adhere, like first class, which means that every room has a bathroom.
Kenneth Williams, your challenge.
Deviation. We're discussing the holiday brochure, not the classifications of hotels.
All right, Kenneth Williams, with 2 seconds left for holiday brochures, you start now.
Holiday brochures are glossy. They're lovely. They look all right.
Well, I don't know whether you were, but I was finding that last round absolutely tentatively because with Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo being equal, obviously one of them had to win on that round. And it happened to be Clement Freud who got the extra point. Let me just tell you that Andre Melle unfortunately came last, 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who with his holiday brochures leapt into third place. Derek Nimmo kept definitely well in second place, but Clement Freud by 1 point is this week's winner.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hash.